North Carolina has had a complicated history with alcohol. Wilkes County was once proclaimed the moonshine capital of the world, while North Carolina banned alcohol about 10 years prior to the start of Prohibition and only removed the ban about 5 years after the 18th Amendment creating Prohibition in 1919 was repealed in 1933.
Back in the day, before Prohibition in the late 1800s, there were, it's hard to quantify exactly, but from some quick Google research I did, we had close to 500 distilleries. Now, you know, a lot of these were on farms and very small operations. But back in the so-called day, North Carolina was a booming distiller, and that all ended, obviously, with Prohibition.
John Francis Trump, who is writing about the return of craft spirits to the state in his book, Still and Barrel, Craft Spirits in the Old North State. It's been a slow process, the legal kind at least. Trump notes legal distilleries weren't allowed until 1979, and the first to open was Piedmont Distillers in Madison in 2005. His book highlights about three dozen distillers, all making a variety of high-quality spirits from gin to rum to vodka to whiskey, but many of them giving an appreciative nod to North Carolina's notorious bootlegging past.
Jeremy Norris and Benson, who also makes moonshine, and Copper Barrel makes moonshine too. Broad Branch makes moonshine. And where these recipes come from, they come from 100-year-old, longer. The Calls, for example, taught some guy named Jack Daniel how to make liquor, a descendant of the Calls, who was a Baptist minister who was forced to give up his still for pressure from his congregation. So they've got such a history in it. And now there's no classification, so to speak, for moonshine. There's classifications for vodka, for whiskey, for gin, liqueur. But moonshine, there's no government classification. So where you kind of run into a hazy area is what exactly is moonshine. And it's whatever that recipe is, typically corn. And it's based on a tradition.
It's true shine, though perhaps the quality is a bit better than the Prohibition-era spirits were. Jeremy Norris at Broad Slab Distillery in Benson notes his moonshine is made in part from, quote, malted non-GMO corn. And while it sounds odd to talk non-GMO with alcohol, that type of talk isn't necessarily uncommon for the craft spirits industry in the state. It's starting to boom, perhaps not as much as state breweries and wineries, but in a way perhaps more familiar to higher-end restaurants that tout their farm-to-table creds.
Like, for example, I'll go back to Jeremy Norris, who grows his own corn. Typically, whiskey and, vodka, even not vodka so much, but corn and wheat are the primary ingredients, I think, used in North Carolina and are available here. Like, for example, Top of the Hill makes a line of whiskeys and gins from red organic wheat. So they have it available. They have a local farmer. In Lenore, they use apples. Carriage House makes apples from a farmer down the road, Low Orchards. So, and the Department of North Carolina Department of Agriculture deserves a lot of credit too, because they're pushing this. They've been behind us from the beginning, and it's kind of part and parcel, the agriculture and the liquor.
The new craft spirits industry also has an attribute that the state's historical bootleggers would probably never have considered, because that attribute wasn't really a consideration for most business of the time, legal or not.
Thing about this cool about Mother Earth, they and pretty much across the board with distillers, they're very green. They recycle as much as possible. They reuse as much as possible. And now the Mother Earth distillery, where the brewery is there too, and they have a wonderful tasting room, which is, I think, an ode to the owner's trip to London, liked it and kind of replicated it. But they use like blue jeans in the insulation, and they grow a lot of their own plants. They have a rooftop garden.
The Mother Earth that Trump just mentioned is Mother Earth Brewery in Kinston, which also has a distiller on site making gin, rum, and whiskey. It's not too far from another Eastern North Carolina distiller, Covington Spirits in Snow Hill, which embodies the green spirit of the state's craft distillers, taking what would otherwise be thrown away and turning it into, as the website proclaims, the best yam vodka on earth.
Now, I'm not a farmer, so, but when you take the sweet potatoes out of the ground, sometimes people, when you buy them at the store, you want pretty sweet potatoes, and sometimes they get torn up. So some of the people who own Yamco decided, well, we should do something with these sweet potatoes, and somebody came up with an idea, well, let's make vodka. So that's what they do. They The sweet potatoes are pureed, basically like baby food is what it looks like. And they are in turn distilled to a high proof, but not high enough that you lose that sweet potato essence. So it's a fantastic vodka.
It's also a vodka with a sense of humor, as Jimbo Eason, the Covington distiller, reminds you that their vodka is gluten-free and Putin-free, satisfying those with both dietary and political restrictions. And a sense of humor might be a requirement to make it in the craft spirits industry in North Carolina. You might wake up tomorrow morning and decide, I want to be a distiller, but there will be a lot of mornings between that initial desire and getting a product to the public.
Typically, it takes several years. I mean, people have done it quicker. But it takes years. There's the labeling process. You know, there's the bottles have to be approved. The labels have to be approved through a couple different agencies. And then all the federal rules and all the state rules. And if you're brewing vodka, it's got to be distilled to a certain proof. And if you're calling it bourbon, it's got to have, you know, so much corn in it to be labeled bourbon.
And selling it is another story. It was only in the Pat McCrory administration that a distiller was allowed to sell a bottle of their product to someone directly after they take a tour, with emphasis on the phrase, a bottle.
Right now, as it stands, distillers can sell one bottle of liquor per year per customer. That's not a bottle of each product, that's one bottle total. And your license is scanned, and so it's tracked. Now, you could send people to ABC stores. But will that person go to the ABC store? Will they get sidetracked?
Tastings at the distillery are limited as well. An ounce and a half straight out of the bottle, no mixers, right after a tour. It's hard to promote your product, too. Covington Spirits, for example, can't offer samples or sell its best yam vodka on earth during the Snow Hill Sweet Potato Festival. There are efforts afoot to ease those restrictions. The General Assembly is currently considering Senate Bill 155, which does various things. Loosens the tastings rule and would allow the sale of up to five bottles of product, up from one. There's other things the distillers would like, to serve mixed drinks, for example, but Trump says they're trying to move state law, as they have to do with their spirits, to make a quality product, with baby steps.
It's our culture, of course, and the Baptist versus bootleggers kind of idea way back. But that's what it is. It's amazing that these guys persevere and just bust their butts to make good liquor and sell good liquor and market good liquor with the stringent rules that they're under by the state.
John Francis Trump is the author of Still in Barrel, Craft Spirits in the Old North State, which is published by John F. Blair. I'm George Olson.